Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm very excited to share with you my guest, Mitch Graff. And Mitch is the daddy of three, best-selling author, serial entrepreneur, international renowned business speaker, nationally syndicated radio show host, and former All-American track and field athlete. Mitch Graff has been a passionate serial entrepreneur for over 35 years, dangling his toes into the ponds of many intriguing industries along the way. From selling used bicycle parts out of his garage in the seventh grade to running four companies today, he has prided himself on knowing how to squeeze every drop of potential out of his endeavors. It is my pleasure to welcome Mitch to our show today.
Happy day from Oregon, the coast of Oregon. It's a beautiful sunny day here, and I'm honored to be on your show, Belinda. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much. I love Oregon. So excited to chat with you. So let's dive into this, and let's let our folks get to know you just a little bit more, and let's talk a little bit about your journey, and then what current things are you working on today?
My journey is like many entrepreneurs, but there's a few different twists, I think, in my journey that makes it a little unique. I started, actually, you said seventh grade, selling bike parts out of my garage. It actually started in the third grade when I was selling lemonade. And at that time, everyone else was selling lemonade for a quarter, but I wanted to do something different. So I charged 50 cents, double, but I gave you a free cookie. And I had a little table. My mom gave me a tablecloth, and I had chairs there. And I had a little radio. In fact, I still have the radio to this day. It doesn't work anymore, but I had this radio sitting on the table playing Dodger games because I'm a big Dodger fan. So I was delivering an experience even in third grade. And it's kind of been indicative of my whole entrepreneurial journey where I always look for things to do differently. Look what everyone else is doing. And then I don't do that. I look at other ways to get creative and get into the mind of the consumer. But it started then. I've been an entrepreneur for 35 years. There's only been 1 year of the 35 that I actually drew a paycheck from somebody else. And that was in 2019. I got a little bit bored with running my four companies and doing my podcast, my radio shows. I got bored, believe it or not. And so I took a job as the president of a minor league affiliate for the world champion San Francisco Giants baseball team, which is really cool, right? How many people get a chance to be president of a sports team in their career? So I did that for a year. The team got downsized by Major League Baseball. I stepped down when COVID hit, just perfect timing, and came back to run my companies, be a stay-home dad for my kids who have been homeschooled. And so right now I own four companies. I have two nationally syndicated radio shows. I love writing books and write articles for magazines. But the most important thing, and you said it in the intro, is I'm a daddy of three. That's my happy place. This is my corporate office. It is a home office. I have employees all over the world and all around the country, but I run everything from this office, and my living room is right out there. At 2:30 this afternoon, my seven-year-old comes home, her last day of first grade, and guess what? I'm going to be out at her bus stop, and she'll get off the bus. I'll give her a hug, and she'll officially be a second grader, which is kind of cool. So that's kind of what I'm doing now. I love mental challenges. I get bored pretty easy, so I like to create ideas, build, scale, and offload, and then go on to the next product. And one thing, Belinda, I've learned, I think the most important thing I've learned, is that regardless of the industry that you're in, regardless of what your niche is in life, the tenets of success are the same. The principles of good business, of good sales, of good marketing, of good social media, they're all kind of the same. So whether you want to be a restaurateur or a digital marketing guru, or you want to have a wallpaper company, if you understand the basic tenets of good business, you can be successful. And I always say you put your lifestyle first. You design your lifestyle. Then you reverse engineer to figure out what your business blueprint needs to look like. And I think that's counterintuitive from what a lot of teachings are out there. They tell you to build the thing, right? Build your blue thing, your widget, and forsake everything. And I'm here to say, no, you need to have that balance of work and life. and you got to put your personal life first and then reverse engineer it. And so that's my different little angle, my different journey. And I've been doing that same thing for about 32 years, having that approach where my lifestyle is more important than my businesses. And it's worked out okay for me.
You know, I agree completely, because if you dive in and your business like grows and takes off and it's moving at such a fast pace that you didn't make room for those other things that are important, sometimes it's very difficult then to stop this sort of machine that's running, if you will. Yeah. And I really do think that it is important to, you know, in scheduling anything, is schedule the things that are important to you as well as your business related things. And I love what you said about sort of tenets of business. And that is so totally true. And I was actually just talking to this, you know, marketing team, and they said, well, who is your niche market? Well, what kind of entrepreneur? Well, what kind of business? And I was getting a little agitated with them a little bit. And I said, you know, basic business strategies work for any type of business, whether you're a brand new startup business and you're even questioning whether to be an entrepreneur, you're at a full-time job and you're just kind of burned out, or you just want to have a new challenge. Like, you need to learn those basic business strategies. And if you are a business and you're currently in it and you want to scale it, well, you have to know basic business strategies. So I love to hear you say that, because I completely agree. And a lot of people today are, oh, no, it's got to be this, you know, very specific to this industry specific things. And there are things that you need to know for very specific industries. But boy, if you learn those basics of the pillars of business, man, they'll take you anywhere. They'll take you absolutely anywhere you want to go.
Well, one of the modern philosophies is you niche down, niche down, niche down, niche down. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about, where your stuff, my stuff, can be general. But I tell you, there's a couple of niches that I have niched down, probably four different levels, because what I teach could be to a plumber, could be to a hotel manager. It doesn't matter. But I found success over the past niching down into professional photographers is one of them. Professional videographers is one of them. Graphic designers is a niche. And so I've really niched down to the guy that has a graphic design company in Schenectady, New York. And my teachings have been molded for that guy. And so what I found is that if you get too general, you say, hey, my stuff's for everybody, nobody will bite, right? So you have to really niche down and find that avatar, find that perfect client. And we did a survey earlier this year, Belinda. I have pretty good sized database doing this for a lot of years. We had about 10,300 people respond to a survey. Guess what the average number of hours worked per week for the average entrepreneur? Guess what the number of hours per week is?
Oh, I'm going to say 25.
You're really close. 72 and a half.
So I thought
that's
I can either go crazy.
90 and 100 hours a week. And there's people working the 25, like you said. But the average entrepreneur, they really believe that they have to forsake everything else in their life, give everything else up, their kids, their family, their personal growth, right? Their personal development. They give all that up to build the beast. And when that happens, you wake up 10 years from now, 20 years from now, your kids are in college. I know you have a 17-year-old getting ready to go to college. That's exciting and scary at the same time, right? Because you're almost an empty nester. Well, I'm 59. I have a 16, 14, and a 7-year-old. I waited a long time to settle down and get married, long time to have kids. I'm going to be 71 when my 7-year-old graduates from high school. Now, that alone is a scary thought for anyone that's watching or listening out there. But I have a thing called the 24/7 lifestyle. And it sounds, I mean, what people think is 24/7, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? Nose the grindstone all the time. My definition is 24 hours a week, 7 months a year. And what that means, and I know people say, well, that's ridiculous. You can't have that kind of a lifestyle if you're an entrepreneur. Here's how I am successful at that. Every single day when I wake up and come to my office or go out to warehouses or wherever I got to go, I ask myself, what can I do today to be more efficient at what I'm doing so that I can free up my time to either A, invest it into the company, B, invest it into employee training, invest it into staring at this beautiful big tree in my backyard, or invest it into my family and my kids, or taking a course myself for self-improvement. I have that choice of time. But that 24/7 lifestyle, and I ask people, would you be willing to, if you can get everything done in your life, working 24 hours a week, 7 months a year, and have the rest of the time off to do what you wanted? Most people say, well, pick me. I want to do that life. And that may not be possible, but mm-hmm. your definition of 24/7, Belinda, might be getting from 55 hours a week down to 52. If you, through your systems and through your efficiencies, can save 3 hours a week, that could revolutionize your entire business, your entire lifestyle. So I always tell people, look at the systems you have in your businesses and in your life, break it down into the smallest number of moving pieces, and then rebuild those systems with less moving pieces, mm-hmm. more efficient, right? It's that whole productivity thing. But when you do that, magic things start to happen because you free up this time, which is the most valuable asset that any of us has, is how we spend our time. You have this extra time that you can reinvest however you want. And I think that's the magic bullet for entrepreneurs today, is to free up your time so you can do that high level thinking of how am I going to grow my business and get it to the point right. where I don't have to be there 72 and a half hours a week.
Right. You do have to have time for creativity, because if you are constantly working, making decisions, working in the minutiae of the whole thing, you just are not in that creative space. And that's really what grows your business to the next level.
That's right.
A couple of interesting little points of interest there is, I had that same radio in pink that I always
you
used
did?
To carry around.
Isn't
in
that
my
cool?
book.
I did. It looks like a person, right? It's got the two eyes right there. Yeah, it doesn't work anymore. I've thought about trying to take it in, but this is obviously, it's an antique, right? It's 50 years old or more than that. But this was indicative of a thought process I had when I was young that I've maintained through my entire adult life. Mm-hmm. I still look at myself as a kid, but through my entrepreneurial journey, this is indicative of, okay, I'm going to be different and unique. I might have a business that 1,000 other people are in. What can I do to differentiate myself? And it can't be price. It can't be color. It can't be size. It's got to be something different. So this is kind of indicative of that journey I'm on.
Oh, that's awesome. What's funny, I don't still have my radio, but I earned my radio through selling door-to-door Christmas cards. So we could, depending on how much Christmas cards you sold, you got to. I think I was 11 when I did that. So was selling Christmas cards, 10 or 11, probably right in that range. And but anyway, that was a fun thing to do. So, and then we could earn prizes.
11, and nobody tells you no.
Believe it or not, they do. But not as much. And the other fun thing that, yes, I do have a 17-year-old getting ready for college, but I also have a 37 and a 35-year-old. So that's part of the story you were missing. So, yes, I started all
over. You're
going
to be an empty nester here coming up, and that's exciting for you, right? It's a whole new chapter mm-hmm. of your life that you and your husband can do some different creative things, maybe travel some more than you couldn't, because high school requires some roots, right? The kids don't want to leave friends. You can't just up and move to Costa Rica. And a lot of what we do and what I do today is mobile. It's on a computer. We can do it from the beach in Cancun, like we can do it from an office here in Canby, Oregon. And that's one thing that the internet has allowed us to do, is that we can repurpose our content in a myriad of different package forms, and people can consume that content in a different environment. It depends on where they are in the world and where they are in their life.
Yes. So let's talk about skill sets. What do you think you have identified as sort of your superpowers that have helped you along this 30 plus year journey?
Superpower. I think one of the things that I've really tried to work hard on, and when you ask my team members and my staff, they this is what they answer. I'm really good at finding people that are smarter than me in their skill sets, giving them the guidelines, giving them the guide rails, and then letting them do their job. I really believe that good leaders today, you can't do it on your own anyway, but you find people around you that are smarter than you, and then you just let them do their job. And so I have a catering company. I have two manufacturing companies. I have a publishing company, and I have great people throughout. I don't try to do their jobs. They know what my vision is. I spend my time. You've heard of the 80-20 principle, Pareto's principle, where 80% of our results are a result of 20% of our efforts. Well, I've even niched down further than that. Not even 90-10. I'm 95-5. I believe that good leaders and sharp entrepreneurs identify the top 5% of their activities during the day that brings them the 95% of the results, and then they do those things only. And they offload, they delegate, they automate the other 95%. And to me, that's $500 an hour work, right? The job of an entrepreneur, your job is not to answer phones, do paperwork, and clean the toilet. Yes, we all have to do that sometimes. But there's a point when if you truly want to grow and get that quality of lifestyle and be in your happy place, you have to offload most of what you're doing. There's virtual assistants all around the world that will take care of most of that kind of stuff for $5 or $10 an hour. And they're phenomenal, right? You don't have to hire someone from the United States, which I recommend. But I have people all over the world that do a phenomenal job for me. They're incredible at what they do. And it doesn't cost me a lot of money. But you know, my time is the most important thing I got. It frees up that time for me to go do that $500 an hour stuff. So that's what I recommend people do, whether you have a one-man band or a company of 350 employees. You got to find that 5% that brings you the 95% of your results, and then do that. Do more of that.
So, wow, I just loved that, Mitch. You really said some really great things in there and really wise, and I love that. I always try to say, okay, what's the most important thing for me to be doing? But really saying, what's that $500 an hour job? That really puts it into a different perspective. Even for me, I've not heard it said just like that, and I love that. But you have to save yourself and your time for the things that are going to be the most important. And a lot of times, a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to get a person and I want them to, you know, handle my membership group or whatever. And I always say, gosh, you know, whoever you have the biggest impact on or that personal relationship with, don't push that one off to somebody else.
Exactly.
Do the more menial tasks that anybody could do and wouldn't have an impact on that, you know, person-to-person connection of relationship building.
Well, and that's very hard especially for a new business owner. And there's a lot of new business owners since COVID. There's been, just the United States alone, an additional 1.1 million people have decided to start a business or take their side hustle to a full-time endeavor. That's a lot of extra people in the entrepreneurial space. And they're being taught that to start out, you need to, again, forsake everything, number one. But number two, you got to do everything. And that's just not a wise investment for a new entrepreneur. You need to identify, first of all, what you like to do, what your skill set is, what your wheelhouse is, and then see if you can make that your 5% of your activities that bring you the results. The problem is we get into a business because, let's just say, a guy likes to make cabinets in his garage. So he opens a cabinet shop. Or a guy that likes taking pictures of flowers that opens a photography studio. They're artists in their own way. That doesn't make them a good business person. That doesn't mean that they have those tentacles of good business success, that they have those as their foundation of their house. And there's tons of resources out there to teach you how to be a great salesperson. If you don't like to sell, that's not a problem. A, learn how to do it and do it well. Or B, find someone that can and then let them do that for you. But it's so hard for us to let go of those things because we think nobody can do it as well as us. The other problem that I see, Belinda, is that people delay gratification. You know, I'm 65 years old. I'm going to retire. I'm going to have $3 million in the bank. And by golly, my wife and I, we're going to travel the world. We're going to sip martinis in Greece and go to the beach in Cancun. And our life's going to be just great. Well, sometimes things happen that don't allow you to get to that, whether it be your health, whether it be the death of a spouse. You know, I lost my dad this last year during COVID. It wasn't because of COVID, but we almost didn't get to say goodbye to him. Mm-hmm. That would have been devastating to his kids and his grandkids. And thank goodness we were able to say our goodbyes with no regrets, right? But sometimes we delay this gratification. And I say, no, especially if you're an entrepreneur, live in this moment right now, the moment you have today. My seven-year-old, by golly, I made her lunch today. We talked about her last day of first grade. She's excited to come home. We're going to have a party tonight. We go to frozen yogurt, the last day of my kids' school. That's my moment today. That's my magic moment. And we all have those every single day. And whether we identify them or not, that's a whole different story. But I just recommend don't delay happiness. Happiness is right in front of you if you could just slow down, take a deep breath, and not take the simple things for granted. To me, my seven-year-old, that will be, well, I'll be 71 when she graduates high school. I do not take that for granted. And I realize that there may be a chance that when she grows up, she might not remember her dad for whatever reason, if something happens to me. So I try to create those precious and cherished moments every single second of the day.
I just think that, well, that's so awesome and so such great, great advice. But people do think I'm going to work really hard now so I can, I'm building this future for my family.
Sure.
And it's like, don't forget to enjoy them along the way. And I think I was really young when I had my first two kids, and I would say that I kept thinking, I'm doing this for them, I'm doing this for them. And then I did sort of figure it out midway through all of that, but I certainly did it in a completely different way with my daughter now, knowing that it's still going to be, there is no end zone. Like in 10 years, you're going to be hustling still. So you might as well enjoy your life, continue to hustle, but make space for everything else, because you're still going to be in 10 years trying to create that life for them. Like that you're in, if people could just understand that,
right.
Like there is no, we're running sometimes so hard, but there really is no, there is no finish line.
The
like
joy is
life
the journey.
Just continues.
The joy
exactly.
is getting to where you're going. The joy and the satisfaction comes one day at a time. You don't set a goal to lose 40 pounds. You set a goal to lose 1 pound this week. And after this week, then you'd set a goal to lose one more pound next week. Same with happiness. Your happiness isn't 40 pounds from now. Your happiness is in the journey and learning and falling on your face and experiencing failure. I can't tell you how many times I've fallen on my face in my journey. But you know what? Without my failures, I would not be equipped to be able to have an occasional success here and there and to have that perspective that I have today of, okay, business is important, but you know what? I'm to the point in my career where I don't have to work 80 hours a week. I used to be that guy. I used to work a lot of hours. And then back in the early 90s, I said, nope, life's too short. I'm not going to do it. And I changed my perspective, changed my attitude. And you fast forward, and I still have that mentality today. And I wish it, like you said earlier, I wish everyone had that same perspective. But we all have the ability to do life the way that we want to do it. Raise our kids the way we want to raise it. Do the things in life that bring the joy to us. And that's what we all do. The 8.2 billion people on this planet is just, you know what, today's special right now in front of us. Regardless of the situation you're in, look for a silver lining. Be happy in the moment you're in right now. Yeah.
Great. Let's talk a couple, like, we're going to do some rapid fire questions here. So
Hit me.
One of your most outstanding accomplishments.
Oh my gosh. I'm not going to give the lame answer of kids, even though it is the biggest accomplishment. I think the ability for me to put thoughts on paper, you know, writing books, I've written 9 books. That is something that is a struggle still for me, but I've worked hard to learn how to make the process more palatable, less time consuming. And so I have a system now on how, if I have an idea for a book, and my new book is called Customer Service is Dead, Delivering 6-Star Service in a 1-Star World. And it's doing very well. But my approach to that was, okay, I have to carve out 60 minutes a day. So from either 3 to 4 or 4 to 5 in the morning, that was my time to write. Notifications turned off. There was no emails, no social media. The only thing I had is my dog at my feet and a cup of coffee and my thoughts and my computer, you know, on a piece of paper. And I've learned to kind of make that process more palatable and something that fits into my lifestyle, you know, with the kids and everything else going on, that fits into my lifestyle. And so I'm very proud of the fact that I've been able to refine that system so that if I have an idea for a book or an article, I can vomit on the page, so to speak, so that people can get something from it. I love sharing what I've learned in my journey and the failures and the successes I've had. I love sharing that with people. And the way I do it best, I think, is through my words, through my writing.
All right. So, gosh, that was a great, great, great answer. And I know writing a book is no easy feat. So when you have 9 under your belt and you've learned how to streamline that process, that's awesome. So let's talk about one of your greatest challenges you faced in your career and how you worked your way through that.
Several challenges. And like I said earlier, failure has been one of the best teachers. I always joke that I have a PhD from the School of Hard Knocks. And there's a lot of people out there that would attest to that. In fact, a couple of years ago, I got crazy and started launched a product, and it's actually a PhD from the School of Hard Knocks, and it's official. It's got gold foil. It's got the stamp. It's got the signatures, and it actually does very, very well across the country as a gag gift more than anything. But being knocked down and having that taste of failure has allowed me to build more successes. I always say if you get knocked down 99 times, that's okay. But as long as you get up one extra time, as long as you get up 100 times, life is good, your business is good. And so I think one of the biggest challenges that I have faced, and I continue to face this, it's you're never completely graduated from the School of Hard Knocks. but I think probably the biggest challenge I have is making sure, even to this day, that I am spending my time doing the things that at this point, I'm working on legacy and making sure my kids have something when I'm gone, you know? And so if I'm going to spend 2 hours doing a volunteer project at the local school, I do lots of that kind of stuff, but do I need to make it 2 hours or can I do it for 1 hour and still, you know, do my obligation? Kids in the schools, you got to do your thing, got to do your time. Or do I really need to spend that 2 hours? And so every single day, making sure and asking myself the question, what do I need to be doing today to make sure that I get my work done, that I am present for my kids, present for my wife, present for my kid, my brothers and sisters and my mom and my friends. And that's a challenge every single day. And there's days that I just do it terribly, even after all these years, even at 59 years old, there's days that I don't do the things that I need to be doing. And at the end of the day, it's like, man, that day just wasn't very efficient, effective, and I blew it, you know? But as long as I'm there for my kids at the end of the day, I'm in my happy place and my life is good.
Great. That takes us to our next question, which is our signature question of the show. And that is, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Working from my happy place, it really is about my kids. I want to make sure that as a dad of 3, and if you look at my bio, the very first thing that's listed is daddy of 3. And I do believe that is the most important reason I was put on this earth. It's more important than any of my companies. It's more important than having employees and putting food on their tables for their families. The most important thing is leading by example, teaching my kids the skill sets they need to have. So when they get to be my age, they can teach their kids some of the same things that I've been able to teach them, or hopefully be able to teach them. Sometimes it's difficult teaching anything to a 16-year-old female when I'm learning. I didn't realize that as soon as they turned 14, they became smarter than moms and dads. I never knew that, Belinda. I don't know if you knew that, but they become smarter than you when they're a freshman in high school. Did you know that?
I've experienced this phenomenon.
So my happy place, you know, and I really have to say right now in my life, I look at everything I have going on, and from an outsider's perspective, it looks like I have no time, because I do have 2 nationally syndicated radio stations that are on almost 50 stations across the country. And as a podcast, I got my books, I have my public speaking, I have my manufacturing companies, my publishing company, but I have a lot of free time. I really try to live that 24/7 lifestyle so that I have the time to do the things in life that I want to do. And I'm not beholden to my company, a business, a product, anything like that.
That is great. So Let's real quick, and I know this, we didn't chat about this previously, but I'm pretty sure that this is ingrained in you so deeply, it won't be a big stretch. But like, if you were to say three of those basic tenets of business, like what are your top three things that people are going to need to continue to work on or to kind of master if they really want to grow their business?
Number one, hands down, the most important, lifestyle design. Now, I wrote a book last year called The Business Basics Bootcamp. A third of the book is lifestyle design. That's number one. Number two is time management, learning how to manage your time and do the things that bring you the biggest results. And number three, especially if you're a business owner or an entrepreneur, is branding. You need to understand all the principles of personal branding, of professional branding, all the different elements that go into a consumer's brain, a potential customer's brain, on what kind of value they give you. That's all done with your branding. So yeah, lifestyle design, time management, and branding. I think you spend your time on those three things, life will be good.
Wow, that was great. And what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that think our listeners can benefit from?
Well, something that's not quite out of the bag yet, but I'm happy to share it as a side-by-side product with my customer services dead book, we are developing 6-star certification. Now, let me ask you, Belinda, if you were able to go through a process, do some online training and go through some other metrics, and then your business could become 6-star certified, meaning that you have a history and a track record of going above and beyond to make sure your customers are taken care of, would you be interested in becoming 6-star certified?
Well, of course.
Of course. And I think the answer for most business owners would be the same thing, because that is your silver bullet. That's what allows you to separate. It's not price. It's not size of your blue widget. It's not anything except the way that you take care of your customers. And so my book, there's 6 different points of the star, and there's 6 different chapters. And each chapter talks about a point of the star. So we're putting together this certification process that has online courses. It allows you to have awards that you can give to your through your local chamber of commerces. It allows you to have window decals and things to put on your counter, and train your employees how to have the mindset of going above and beyond, making sure your customers are treated like gold, that you solve problems quickly and efficiently, all those kinds of things. And so that's what I'm spending the rest of this year developing, is that 6-star certification process that we will be offering through all the 7,000 chamber of commerces across the United States.
Oh gosh, that is exciting. Wow. All right. And would you like to leave our listeners with any pieces of advice to people who, the 1.1 million that you said are either working their side hustle more, or they are leaving a job to move into entrepreneurship?
Well, we've talked about a lot of those golden nuggets now, but I wanted to a quick story, and I think it'll make the point that the question that you're asking. Back in 1998, my mom and stepdad, his second marriage, my mom and dad got divorced when I was 11. They didn't make a lot of money between the two of them. They both worked full time. They saved money for a boat. And one Saturday afternoon, my brother, my sister, and I were going out to Hayden Lake, North Idaho. And again, didn't have a lot of money, but we bought a captain's hat for my stepdad. His name was Pat. And he's up there in the top. It's a beautiful day. It's sunny. And he looks out over the lake and says, "Babe, I wonder what the poor folk are doing today." My mom just gets this weird look in her eyes. She looks up and she says, "Honey, we are the poor folk." And all he said is, "Not today." And that has stuck with me. It's part of the fiber of my body now, where it has nothing to do with how much money is in your bank account. It has nothing to do with how successful your companies are. It has to do with, are you doing the right things with your life and with your time? And are you making a difference in the people's lives that mean the most to you? And I think that's probably my biggest takeaway that I want to leave with people is, ask yourself that question. Are you doing all the right things? If not, you can change it today. You don't have to wait till you're 65.
Gosh, well, this has been a wonderful interview. And thank you so much for all of your pearls of wisdom. And where can our listeners find you? Where's the best place to connect?
Well, our main educational website is Power, P as in Paul, PowerMarketing101.com. And I'm actually giving away free copies of my customer services dead book. If you go to the number 6 hyphen star, S-T-A-R, .org. So 6-star.org. The book is free. I'll send you a free book. You just got to pay a little shipping and handling, but I'm happy to do that for anyone in the United States. And that's about, those are the two most important things for right now, Belinda. But thank you for the opportunity. It's been an honor to spend time with you and your listeners and your viewers.
Well, thank you. And to all of our listeners out there, thanks so much for tuning in today. We really appreciate each and every single one of you, and we appreciate your time. We know it's valuable. Thanks for tuning in to Work From Your Happy Place. Rate and review us. We appreciate that so much. And the biggest form of compliment you can give us is to please share us with a friend. Thanks so much once again, and we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.